This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, it's time for our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup, where we check in with reporters around the state about the stories they're covering. First, the Crossroads Care Center nursing home in Green Bay is in the final stages of closing down. Its 42 residents have had to relocate to other facilities in the area. Megan Stringer is Streetwise reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. She wrote about this for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Megan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this Crossroads Care Center announced it would be closing down last month. We've seen other nursing homes closing down in recent years. What do we know about why this particular facility in Green Bay is shutting down?
Yeah, so I spoke with Aaron Topper. He's the director of operations for the Crossroads Company in Wisconsin. And he said in this case, the money just isn't there. It would have been a financial strain to keep this home open. And in this particular case as well, this is the Green Bay East home of the Crossroads Company closing in Green Bay. They do have a Green Bay West home in Green Bay as well. So in this particular situation, as Aaron Topper told me, it made sense for them to consolidate their costs. Most of the staff will be moving from the closing home over to their other one, and some of the residents will be relocating there as well.
When something like this happens, what kind of timeline does it have for, in this case, the 42 residents who had been living there?
So the state, in this case, set 90 days for relocating all the residents. That number can vary depending on the size of the home, however many residents are there. And in this case, they had 90 days to relocate those 42 residents.
And this isn't the only nursing home to close recently in the Green Bay area. What have we seen out there and elsewhere around the state?
So nursing homes have been closing rapidly across Wisconsin. In 2019, especially, there were 17 homes that closed. That's according to Leading Age Wisconsin, which is an advocacy nonprofit. And so that's an increase from 2018 when just 5 homes closed in the state. The homes have been closing increasingly, I'm told, because of a low Medicaid reimbursement rate as well as a staffing shortage throughout Wisconsin for long-term care staff.
Megan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Megan Stringer is the Streetwise reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald. She works for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. She wrote about the Crossroad Nursing Home in Green Bay for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Now, the State Department of Natural Resources is directing Johnson Controls to expand its testing of private wells in the Marinette area due to PFAS chemicals from the company's subsidiary Tyco Fire Products making their way into the groundwater supply. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. Danny, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Rob, for having me.
Can you give us some background, Danny, on the issue of these pollutants, these PFAS pollutants they're called, and this company in Marinette?
Yeah, so PFAS are forever chemicals, which means that they don't break down easily in the environment, and they've raised concerns because of harmful health effects that have been associated with it, like cancer or thyroid disease or high cholesterol. And Tyco is a Marinette manufacturer of firefighting foam, and they first reported contamination to the DNR in 2017 of these chemicals, then that they thought it might have spread from their facility. But state records show that Tyco actually had knowledge or test results of contamination at its fire training center back in 2013.
What's the DNR now ordering the company to do?
Well, the DNR issued 2 letters to Tyco and Johnson Controls this week. One basically says that they're expanding the area that Tyco has to investigate for contamination around its facility, as well as the number of PFAS chemicals that they have to test for in drinking water wells. The other says that Johnson Controls and Tyco have to sample drinking water wells nearby 61 fields in Marinette County. And so that's basically what they're working on this week.
What does this look like from a resident's perspective in this area being tested, especially if they rely on well water?
Yeah, so for residents by these affected fields, they can expect to be contacted by Johnson Controls or Tyco pretty soon. Maybe they already have been. Sampling near these fields is slated to begin in early March. And for those living in the expanded area around Tyco's training facility, they can expect to be contacted sometime in the next couple weeks and sampling for drinking water wells around the training center is expected to begin in April.
Have we heard anything, Danny, from the company itself since this DNR order about how they're going to respond?
No. Johnson Controls has said that they are reviewing the communications from the DNR.
Now, John Nygren, a top Republican in the state assembly, represents this area. What has he had to say about this ongoing issue?
Well, Representative Nygren had basically conveyed that while he's happy to see that Johnson Controls and Tyco are moving forward on testing farm fields in the area, that he's disappointed that it took months for them to come to an agreement with the DNR to move forward on this. And in the meantime, people are waiting in the wings wondering whether or not they have safe, clean drinking water.
And did I read in your story, Danny, at least some people are eligible to say, hey, Johnson Control, we need some bottled water while we're figuring this out?
Yes. Any affected landowner or homeowner that would be nearby wells can contact Tyco or Johnson Controls to have bottled water.
Danny, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Thanks, Rob.
Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. She was with us to discuss the DNR ordering Johnson Controls to do more testing for PFAS chemicals in private wells in the Marinette area. Coming up, our news roundup continues with an update on a squadron of F-35 fighter jets potentially coming to an airfield in Madison. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our Wisconsin news roundup. The Air Force released its final study on the environmental impacts of stationing a squadron of F-35 fighter jets at Madison's Truax Field. A final decision on where those jets will ultimately go is yet to come. Chris Hubbock covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. Chris, welcome back to the show.
It's my pleasure.
We have this Air Force final environmental impact study out this week. They looked at noise levels, the amount of flights, big areas of concern. What kind of things did we hear in this big report about the local concerns?
I think the number one takeaway from this final study is that it wasn't much different than the draft study that we saw last fall. They included an appendix where they summarized a lot of the questions and concerns and provided some answers. But those were mostly, here's why we didn't include this in the final report.
What do we know about where this Madison Airport is on the priority list for these F-35 fighters?
Nothing has changed there. Madison is still the top pick out of the five cities, five bases, National Guard bases that are under consideration for this next squadron. Madison is still their top pick. But then again, this EIS wasn't really designed to come up with an answer. That's up to the Secretary of the Air Force, who will use this environmental document to inform her decision.
What do we know about why the Air Force likes this Madison airfield?
It checks a lot of the boxes in terms of runway length. It's got, it has a base that is suitable for what they want to do with these jets.
Let's talk a little bit about something we've talked about, I think, in the past, the pros and cons as locals see it. What are the positive reactions you're hearing in the Madison area, first of all?
I mean, the supporters all along have said, one, that there's some economic impact to this. There would be new construction. It would add some jobs, about 64 jobs, I believe, including some new pilots as well as a lot of support staff. And I think the primary concern is that if the 115th Fighter Wing doesn't get these jets, that some point down the road they could lose their mission as their 32-year-old F-16s just become too decrepit to fly. That somehow that mission could go away, and with it the significant economic impact that having that flight wing here provides.
For critics, what are they worried about? We've mentioned noise, but can you amplify those concerns a little?
Yeah, I mean, noise is a huge one. That this would increase sort of the radius around the airport where those sort of what could be considered intolerable noise levels would be felt. There's the concern that this disproportionately affects low-income minority populations who tend to live in some of those neighborhoods around the airport. That this could affect property values. I think in the Air Force's own estimates was about up to close to 0.3% of the county's tax base, which adds up to like $190 million worth of lost property value. That, and then there's some concerns about how the National Guard is going to deal with existing PFAS pollution on the base, especially as they undertake a lot more construction. And I think then there are also just people who just don't like the idea of more militarization.
And for the noise side of things, there are federal noise reduction programs available for people who live near these kinds of sites. You looked into this, though, and found that for some people, anyway, old easements might make them not eligible. What's going on there?
Yeah, back in the 90s, the airport was doing a runway expansion project, and they went and used a federal program to essentially give people $2,000 to give up their rights to complain or to take part in future kind of noise mitigation programs. But that was 20 plus years ago. Some of those people sold their homes, and the people who bought them weren't aware of the easement. There were some homes that were built in the interim, and the people who bought them weren't aware. And so they're suddenly, you know, several hundred people finding out that, oh, well, there might be a program available, but you might not be eligible to get any more federal funding because those rights have been signed away.
This final environmental impact statement was just one of many steps in this process. What is the timeline now, as far as we know, for when the Air Force will ultimately come out with their decision?
What they've said is that they plan to publish their final EIS in the Federal Register by the 28th. So that's a week from today. And that would trigger a 30-day waiting period before the Secretary of the Air Force can issue a final decision. So I guess we'd be looking for that towards the end of March.
Chris, thanks a lot for joining us again.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Chris Hubbock covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. He talked with us today about the Air Force's final environmental impact study on stationing a squadron of F-35 jets in Madison. He also closed out our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup. Coming up after the news, we'll look at the decline of executive assistants and secretaries and what those jobs have meant over the years for women without college degrees.